Welcome to Hot Topics on GraceNetRadio.com. Hot Topics is a ministry of gospel on the go from Croatia with the U.S. support team at Lighthouse of Life Church in South Florida. Each week, join Dr. Andrew Vuksic and his guests in Croatia as they discuss the hot topics of the day dealing with theology, culture, and more, all relevant to Christians worldwide. The opinions expressed on the program are those of the hosts and guests and not necessarily those of GraceNet Radio. Now from Croatia, your host of Hot Topics, Andrew Vuksic on GraceNetRadio.com.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Hot Topics, where today we're going to be talking about the following hot topic: denying the resurrection of the dead. There are those who claim that once we die, that's it. There is no afterlife, eternal life. When we die, we just cease to exist. They deny the resurrection of the dead. There are others who say, okay, our souls and our souls alone are immortal, but our bodies are just a waste. And so when we die, our souls float around somewhere, according to this theory, as like disembodied souls, and our bodies just eventually just disappear. These people also deny the resurrection of the dead. Where do you stand on this? Do you believe that when our Lord returns, that we will receive glorified bodies that will be united to our already glorified souls if we have died before our Lord has returned? Do you believe that you will live throughout eternity with a glorified body and soul? Or do you deny the resurrection of the dead? Well, if you would, please open your Bibles. Turn with me, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. This was a problem that was happening in that church there in Corinth, where there were some people there who were denying the resurrection of the dead. 1 Corinthians 15, the premier passage in all of Scripture, talking about the resurrection of Christ and the resurrection of Christians. Chapter 15, the longest chapter in this letter, 58 verses. And it's a chapter where Paul had to correct some wrong thinking that some of the Corinthian believers had regarding the resurrection. Listen carefully. They didn't deny the resurrection of Christ, because we know chapter 15, starting in verse 1, these people were saved. Paul said to them, "Now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which you also received, in which you also stand, by which you are also saved." Paul had preached the gospel of Christ to them earlier when Paul had been ministering there in Corinth for 18 months. And what was the gospel Paul had preached to them? Well, he reminds them, verses 3 and 4. "I deliver to you as of first importance what I also received." Paul received his gospel directly from Christ. And what was that gospel that Paul preached? That Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter, the 12, to more than 500 at one time, in all likelihood up there in Galilee, to James, the half-brother of Peter, of Jesus, to Paul, who had been Saul, the one who had persecuted the church of Christ. Paul here is reminding the Corinthians of that which they already received and believed. They had been saved. Not everybody in that church, but they believed in the resurrection of Christ, because you can't be saved if you deny the resurrection of Christ, right? So again, Paul said, listen, I remind you, brethren, of the gospel I had preached to you, which you received, which you're standing in, by which you've been saved. That Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised from the dead according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to many, many people. They believed in the resurrection of Christ, but they were struggling when it came to the resurrection of the dead. Why? And by the way, how do we know that? Hop over to verse 12. Paul says to them, now if Christ is preached that he's been raised from the dead, which you Corinthians have received and believe, then how do some among you say that there's no resurrection of the dead? Do you see it? They believed in the resurrection of Christ, but there were some saying, well, when it comes to believers, Christians, there's no resurrection. Paul says, how can you say that? Well, Greek philosophy. Back then, the Greeks, philosophers such as Plato, Aristotle, and others, taught a Greek dualism, which basically said that the soul is good and the body is evil. A Greek dualism. Therefore, the philosophers taught that only your soul was immortal. Your body? Garbage. And so Greek philosophy had denied the resurrection of the dead. Again, teaching that only your soul, you know, would float throughout eternity as this disembodied, you know, spirit or soul, and that was it. So Greek philosophy obviously had crashed into that church, and it had such a negative influence on the Corinthian believers, where they said, yeah, we believe in the resurrection of Christ, but the resurrection of Christians, no. And Paul had to straighten that out. Does that make sense? And again, just a great example of Greek philosophy, go to Acts chapter 17. Paul in Athens, the philosophical capital of Greece. And Paul, making his way down to Corinth, took a stop in Athens. And we read in verse 16, while Paul was waiting for them, his ministry partners, Timothy and Silas, at Athens, Paul's spirit was provoked within him as he was observing the city full of idols. So Paul was reasoning in the synagogue with the Jews and the God-fearing Gentiles, and then he would go into the marketplace in Athens every day and speak with those who happened to be present. Now watch this, verse 18. There were some Epicurean and Stoic philosophers conversing with Paul, and they heard Paul preaching, and some of them were saying, what is this idle babbler trying to say? Others said, this guy Paul, what he's preaching, he seems to be proclaiming some sort of strange deities. And why were they all saying this about Paul? End of verse 18. Because he was preaching Jesus and what? The resurrection. The resurrection of Christ, the resurrection of the dead. And this threw them off. Because again, they're in Athens. This is where you had the greatest of the philosophers, Greek philosophers, who denied the resurrection of the dead. So when Paul shows up and he starts preaching the resurrection of Christ and the resurrection of the dead, they said, this guy's an idle babbler. He's preaching some sort of strange deities. Did you see it? You understand the background? So back to our text in 1 Corinthians 15. I think we understand why some of the Corinthians, because again, Athens was very close to Corinth, why some of the Corinthians in that church were struggling when it came to the resurrection of the dead. In verse 12, Paul says, now if Christ is preached that he's been raised from the dead, which again, you Corinthians believe, how does some among you say there's no resurrection of the dead? Well, we understand the influence of Greek philosophy. And then look what Paul says to them. Verse 13. If there's no resurrection of the dead, then guess what? That means that not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ, verse 14, has not been raised, Paul says, then our preaching is a waste of time. Nothing but a bunch of hot air. Because Paul and the apostles obviously preached the resurrection of Christ and the resurrection of the dead. Paul said if the dead are not raised, then it means Christ hasn't been raised. And if Christ hasn't been raised, our preaching is in vain. And Paul said to them, and so is your faith. You're believing in a non-resurrected Redeemer? If Christ's dead corpse was still in that tomb in Jerusalem, no resurrection, no redemption. Verse 15, he says, moreover, we, referring to himself and the apostles, are found to be false witnesses of God. We're liars because we have testified, we proclaim that God did raise Jesus from the dead, but apparently if God didn't, then we're liars because we're saying God did something that he didn't do. We've testified against God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then not even Christ has been raised. But that makes sense because the two go hand in hand. Resurrection of Christ, resurrection of the dead. But if the dead are not raised, and not even Christ has been raised, and if Christ has not been raised, not only is your faith worthless, you're still in your sins. A dead Savior is no Savior at all. And if Christ isn't raised, and if the dead are not raised, and the dead are not raised, and Christ is not raised, you see how they go hand in hand? Then you're still in your sins. Who paid for your sins? Nobody. Who are you counting on to pay for your sins? Nobody. He goes on to say, verse 18, then those who have fallen asleep or died in Christ, believers, guess what happened to them? They've perished. That's it. And Paul says, verse 19, if we have hoped in Christ in this life only, man, we are of all men most to be pitied. We're idiots. But then verse 20, Paul says, but now, the emphasis, but now, Christ has been raised from the dead. The first fruit of the guaranteed coming harvest of those who have fallen asleep. Christ has been raised from the dead. Believers will be raised from the dead. Christ has been raised. He is the first fruit of the coming harvest, the resurrection of the dead. Verse 21, for since by a man, Adam, came death, by a man, the perfect God-man, Jesus Christ, also came the resurrection of the dead. For in Adam, all die, because we all have Adam's sin nature. But in Christ, all will be made alive, all those who are his. And here's the order, verse 23. Christ, the first fruits. He was raised from the dead 2,000 years ago. After that, those who are Christ's at his coming. Christ has been raised. When he returns, those who are his will be raised. Then comes the end, when he hands over the kingdom to the God and Father, when he has abolished all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. And the last enemy that will be abolished is death. And so do you see what Paul was saying to them? He said, look, if the dead are not raised, then that means Christ hasn't been raised. Your faith is futile. You're still in your sins. And those who have died trusting in Christ have perished. Paul said, our preaching is in vain. We're actually liars, false witnesses, testifying about something that God, we say, did and he didn't do. Do you see it? But Christ has been raised, which means he conquered sin and death for his sheep. He paid for our sins in full in terms of that day of judgment. He is the first fruit of the harvest of believers being raised from the dead that is to come. That's going to happen when Christ returns. Those who are his will be raised. How will we be raised? We will have glorified souls and glorified bodies. How do we know that? How was Christ raised? He's the first fruit, right? When Christ returns, well, let's do this. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Let me see if I can really break this down for you. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Paul said, verse 6, therefore, being always of good courage, and knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, right? So in this body, I'm right here on earth and home in this body. I'm absent from the Lord in the fact that our Lord is in heaven. Yes, his divine nature, he is omnipresent, but his human nature is there in heaven, right? So to be home in this body is to be absent from the Lord. But Paul said in verse 7, we walk by faith, not by sight. And we are of good courage, verse 8, I say, and prefer to be absent from the body, which means what? To immediately be home with the Lord. Do you see it? As a believer, if we die before our Lord's second coming, what happens? Our souls immediately are at home with the Lord. Glorified souls. We are conscious. We are worshiping our Lord. Glorified souls. Our physical, earthly, perishable bodies are buried in the ground. But when Christ returns, go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We get a picture of that. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 14. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again. And even so, God will bring with him, with Christ, those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. So, you die before Christ returns, your soul immediately is home with the Lord in heaven. Glorified soul. When Christ returns, your glorified soul will return with Christ. And then we are told, verse 16, the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Glorified soul comes back with the Lord. Our Lord gives this great shout, and your earthly body is resurrected, and in a twinkling of an eye, it is transformed into a glorified, eternal, imperishable body that is united with your already glorified soul. Do you see it? The resurrection of the dead. And then verse 17, those who are still alive when Christ returns, now it's their turn to get their new glorified soul and body. They'll be caught up together with them in the air, in the clouds, I'm sorry, to meet the Lord in the air. And so we shall always be with the Lord. Glorified body, glorified soul. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Do you see it? Back to 1 Corinthians. Christian, to deny the resurrection of the dead? Then that means Christ hasn't been raised. Again, verse 12, Paul says it. Now, Christ has preached that he's been raised from the dead. How does some among you say there's no resurrection of the dead? If there's no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching's in vain, your faith is in vain. Moreover, we're found to be false witnesses of God because we testified against God that he raised Christ, whom he didn't raise, apparently. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless. You're still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep or died in Christ have perished. If we have hoped in Christ in this own life only, then we're idiots. But verse 20, but now Christ has been raised, the first fruits of those who are asleep. For since by a man came death, Adam, by a man, the perfect God-man, Jesus Christ, also came the resurrection of the dead. For in Adam all die, but in Christ all will be made alive, but each in his own order. Christ the firstfruits. Then, when he returns, those who are his are raised. Then comes the end, when he hands over the kingdom to the Father. Do you see it? Now, hopefully you understand how the resurrection of Christ and the resurrection of Christians, they go hand in hand. right? And you do not want to deny the resurrection, to deny the resurrection of Christ or of the dead. Because Scripture is very clear, right? Now, some people say, well, that's just a New Testament doctrine. The Jews in the Old Testament, they knew nothing about that. Really? Let me just show you two quick passages as I conclude. Go to Job chapter 19. Job 19. And if you want to, by the way, really dig even deeper into this idea of the resurrection of Christ and Christians, just go on our website. I think we've done like a 4 or 5, even maybe a 6-part series on this very topic there in 1 Corinthians 15. So you can feel free to go on our website and take a look at those videos. But look here in Job chapter 19. Job, it's believed, lived during the time of the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Job is writing this, or is saying these words, thousands of years before Christ. And look what he says in verse 23. As for me, I know that my Redeemer lives. Whoa. Declaring the eternality of Christ. Declaring, obviously, that Christ lives. I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the last he will take his stand on the earth. Resurrection of Christ, second coming of Christ. And look what Job says about himself. Even after my skin is destroyed, this earthly body, yet from my flesh I shall see God. What was he declaring here? Resurrection of the dead. And by the way, notice he said, from my flesh I shall see God. He wasn't thinking that he was going to be some sort of disembodied soul or spirit floating throughout. No. Even after my skin is destroyed, yet from my flesh I shall see God, whom I myself shall behold, and whom my eyes will see, and not another. Huh. Resurrection of Christ, resurrection of believers. Old Testament, right? Go to Daniel chapter 12. Daniel writing around 600 years before Christ. And look what God revealed to Daniel. Verses 2 and 3. Many of those who sleep in the dust, those who have died, many of those who sleep in the dust of the ground will awake. What does that mean? Resurrection of the dead. Some to everlasting life, others to disgrace and everlasting contempt. Resurrection of all people. Those who are the Lord's, eternal life. Those who are not the Lord's, eternal damnation. Resurrection of the dead. Those who have insight will shine brightly like the brightness of the expanse of heaven, and those who lead the many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. Isn't that great? So we see I'm just giving you two passages in the Old Testament. There are many that declare the resurrection of the Redeemer, the resurrection of people, right? The dead. But let me take you to one last passage. I said I would just do two, but let's go to John real quick and I'll conclude here. Let's take a look at the words of Jesus. John chapter 6, verse 37, Jesus said, all that the Father gives me, doctrine of election, will come to me. And the one who comes to me, I will certainly not cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that of all that he has given me, I lose none, but raise them up on the last day. Do you see it? Verse 40, for this is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in him will have eternal life. And I myself, Jesus promises, will raise him up on the last day. Hop down to verse 44. No one can come to me, Jesus said, unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. Very clear. Hop over to chapter 11, and I promise I'll conclude here. I can't skip this passage. Chapter 11, where Jesus tells Martha, the sister of Lazarus, who had been dead for a couple days. Verse 21, Martha says to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. And look what she said. I know that he will rise in the resurrection on the last day. Do you see? Resurrection of the dead. And Jesus said to her, I am, ego eimi, the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. And then Jesus asked her, do you believe this? And I love her response. Yes, Lord, I have believed that you are the Christ, the Son of God, even he who comes into the world. Pretty clear, right? So let me ask you as I conclude. Same question I asked you at the beginning. Do you believe in the resurrection of Christ? And do you believe in the resurrection of the dead? Or do you deny the resurrection of Christ? And do you deny the resurrection of the dead? Be very careful if you do. Because Scripture is clear that Christ is the first fruit. He's been raised from the dead. And he is the guarantee of the full harvest to come. And make sure you get this right, because everybody's going to be raised on that day. Some to everlasting life, those who are the Lord's. The rest to everlasting torment. Jesus declares, I am the resurrection, the life. He who believes in me, even if he dies, will live forevermore. Do you believe this? Amen.
This has been Hot Topics with Dr. Andrew Vuksic. The views and opinions were those of the hosts and guests, and not necessarily those of GraceNet Radio or any of its staff, management, or affiliations. You can email Pastor Vuksic directly at pastorandrew@aol.com. Join us Sundays at 9 a.m. and 3 p.m. Eastern Time in the USA, or 3 p.m. and 9 p.m. in Croatia for Hot Topics, only on GraceNetRadio.com.